This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
U.S. officials say there's growing evidence Pakistan's ISI spy agency encouraged a Pakistani militant group, the Haqqani Network, to carry out last week's attack on the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters in Kabul. A U.S. Senate committee voted this week to make $1 billion in U.S. aid to flood-ravaged Pakistan, conditional on a crackdown on militant groups. Former Afghan President Burhanuddin Rabbani was killed Tuesday in a suicide bombing. A survivor of the attack, an aide to the former president, said Rabbani was lured to his death by the bomber, who claimed he was representing a mysterious figure mediating between the government and the Taliban's senior leadership. NATO leaders Wednesday authorized a 90-day extension of the alliance's mission in Libya. NATO began enforcement of a four-month no-fly zone over Libya in March. NATO fighter jets have flown more than 20,000 sorties over Libya, dropping thousands of bombs to take out Muammar Gaddafi's command centers and military materiel. Hundreds of civilians have been reported killed. Amnesty International says it has uncovered evidence that rebel forces in Libya have committed gross human rights abuses, some amounting to war crimes. The rights group also reveals the Western media deliberately ignored or covered up the widespread atrocities. In a report released Tuesday, Amnesty accuses the rebels of unlawful killings, arbitrary arrests, and widespread torture of civilians, mostly black foreigners. The report also confirms widely held concerns about the NTC's ability to unite the country and oversee a peaceful transition. Many attacks are focused on blacks suspected of being sympathetic to ousted dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The report states angry groups of supporters of the February 17th revolution shot, hanged, and lynched dozens of captured soldiers and suspected foreign mercenaries, and did so with total impunity. Gaddafi's supporters have accused NATO of killing up to 800 civilians. Amnesty says both the NTC and Gaddafi's forces are to blame. U.S. combat troops in Iraq may be heading to the exits, but the U.S. government's enormously expensive intervention there is hardly coming to an end. U.S. officials are planning to expand the gargantuan embassy in Baghdad, a heavily fortified, self-contained compound the size of Vatican City, by far the largest embassy the world has ever seen. Inside its high walls, guard towers and machine gun emplacements ring not just the embassy itself, but more than 20 other buildings. The number of personnel under the authority of the U.S. ambassador will swell from 8,000 to about 16,000.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You are listening to the Rule of Law Radio Network at ruleoflawradio.com. Live free speech talk radio at its best.
Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia on the 24th of September 2011. Very glad to have your company today. Today we've got an interview lined up shortly, coming in about 5 minutes, with Danny Panzella from We Are Change New York and Truth Squad TV. And Danny actually has been reporting on the Wall Street protests, the Occupy Wall Street, so we're going to get kind of a frontline report from him on what was happening there earlier in the week. And to join us as we go through all this, I've got Josh Jackson on the line. Josh, are you there?
I am here, Dr. Fenton.
Thank you, sir.
Doctor of Truth.
Yes, well, I have been studying, but hopefully one day I'll get an honorary doctorate.
Yeah, in the New World Order.
Yeah. Look, just before we get into our interview, I just want to cover a couple of quick things in the news right now.
Yeah, fire away.
Yeah, look, we've had a really volatile week on the financial markets. And, you know, have you noticed that when the financial markets go crazy, like a lot of other news just kind of drops out as well? Like a lot of the stuff about the revolutions and the wars has sort of taken a bit of a backseat.
Yeah. Well, because it's something happening in people's own backyard. And I mean, huge drops. Look at silver's dropped like $10 in the last few days. Huge.
Yeah, yeah. And gold's down a couple of hundred dollars, I think. It was up, it was about 1,800. Now it's down to 1,600 again. And of course, the US dollar has risen again against all currencies, because apparently what happens in these crises is that everyone goes back to the US dollar. It's a bit counterintuitive, isn't it? Because they flee to the US dollar away from bonds, because bonds are seen to be toxic.
Now, there's something I'd like to say to that.
Yeah.
And that is that people run on A, what they've been taught, and B, on tradition. And this is why I still tend to go back to gold and silver, because, you know, people, yeah, have a tradition of the US dollar over the last, you know, 60 years as being the stable currency of the globe. But the tradition of a stable currency worldwide, not just in the Western world, but in China and India, is gold and silver, is hard-backed commodities. With an intrinsic value,
right.
And that value is gained by, you know, use, but also on rarity. And, you know, there's nothing rare about the US dollar right now.
That's so true. That's very interesting, isn't it?
So saying that, you know, people are dumping silver for a few reasons. I mean, I think one of the main reasons people are dumping silver, I would have to say, is that there's, you know, this run back to the American dollar, like you were saying, but you have just looking at my notes here, you've got the dollar rising, so people jump on that.
Sure.
You've got JP Morgan and all that doing their and the hedge fund doing the best to sell the SLV and converting short positions. Plus, all on top of that, you've got this panic selling from silver holders. And because it's an industrial metal, when the markets go down, silver can also go down a little bit. So, but fundamentally, I think silver and gold as a money is still a good buying opportunity right now. Not that I'm giving anyone any advice, but for my money, that's where I'd be going in, you know.
Oh, that's excellent advice. Thanks for that, Josh.
Hey, it's not advice.
You've always got your finger on the pulse. And we won't take it as advice. We'll take it as merely a... One man's view
on the journey of life.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. Look, we're going to have to pause now while I get Danny Panzella on.
This is going to be great, folks.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Stand by. Okay, we seem to be having some trouble getting Danny Panzella on the line. We'll try again in another 10, 15 minutes.
You know what happened in the mainstream media right now?
No, tell me.
Well, they would say, "Ah, oh, the conspiracy theorists are going to call this a conspiracy."
Yeah, yeah. Whenever someone mysteriously drops out, or some important information is silenced.
They really quickly jump on this sort of meme of conspiracy theorists instead of, you know, just calling it what it is, and it's just technical issues or whatever. I mean, they will call it that, but then they'll go on about how we all think now, they're all part of it, and it's just such a load of rubbish. And it helps to really create this divide between, well, people that like to research the alternative media.
Yeah.
And people that are just, you know, go day to day watching Channel 9, Channel 10, and Channel 7, and ABC, just going, "Oh, yeah, what they tell me is true."
Look, don't get me started on the conspiracy stuff, because, you know, after September 11 anniversary and everything, and after the feedback from the article that I wrote and the other things that happened, and watching the BBC conspiracy road trip, I actually forced myself to watch it because I just I wanted to know what things they were going to try and put forward. I really wanted to know, but I knew it was going to be bad. But mate, it was so bad, and I really, you know, I don't recommend watching it. It really is terrible. But if you want to see how bad their arguments are, it's actually in some ways good because you can take some comfort from it that we've actually got in the truth movement much, you know, like so much better intellectual scientific reasoning than the BBC can muster. I just want to give you a quick one example of how they tried to disprove some of the theories about 9/11, and one in particular was the thermite demolition theory of the Twin Towers, and they've got all these young people that they've roped into this trip, you know, they've kind of lured them into this trip, all expenses paid, to New York and all these other landmarks related to 9/11.
Not Richard Gage or anyone with
people who don't
technical
exactly
abilities.
People who don't even have much education. People who can't argue very well. People who are going to look stupid. You know, I really feel sorry for those kids that were roped into that. But anyway, they try to demonstrate for them how thermite couldn't bring a tower down, and they mix some thermite in front of the camera, and they mix it up in a bucket, right? And then it's kind of in a powdered form, right? And they get this steel beam, and they just pour this little pile of thermite dust on top of a steel beam without any containment at all. Just a little pile of what looks like, you know, sand, right?
Yeah.
Hang on.
Was this thermite or thermate?
Well, indeed. This was just a common or garden mixture of thermite. Certainly wasn't nanothermite because you can't make that easily, right?
No.
So this was just normal thermite that you can assemble, you can make from ingredients that you can buy from a hardware store.
Mm.
Now, they poured it on a steel beam without any containment at all, and then they set fire to it. And of course, well, what do you think would happen? I mean, just what do you think would happen in that case, Josh? You put a little pile of this stuff without any containment on top of something. What's going to happen?
Well, like any explosion, you know, the whole thing behind an explosion is that you contain it in all areas except for one.
Exactly.
And that causes the force to be projected and focused in a certain direction. And, you know, anyone, any kid that, you know, when you're a kid and you make little match bombs or sparkler bombs or whatever, you know, any kid boys usually tend up going through a phase of that, and they soon learn, like, all it does is go and fizzle out, and that's about it. I'm guessing that's what happened.
That's exactly right. Like, it went out in all directions, as you'd expect, right? Most of it went up in the air, and most of it went over the sides, and a little bit of it stayed on the steel beam, but of course it didn't melt through the beam. But, you know, to me that would be like taking a bullet, right, and emptying the gunpowder out of the bullet, and then sitting, you know, the bullet on top of the gunpowder, and then lighting it and saying, oh, see, bullets can't kill people.
Yeah, bullets don't go.
Yeah, look, anywhere. That bullet didn't
they
go
just
anywhere.
Fall over.
Yeah, just the bullet would probably just fall over. Yeah.
Although it did get a little bit of brown where the fire hit the casing. Now,
oh dear.
Although, you know, Vici Boy would have been there going, ooh, God, wow.
You can actually see the conversion of Charlie Veach in this film. Yeah, you actually see him at the beginning, an eager, wide-eyed truther, and by the end he's a cynical, you know, believer in the official story, cynical of his truth.
He's met God-fearing men along the way.
Yeah. And the moment that seems to be the sort of road to Damascus moment for Charlie Veach is when they demonstrate for him some principle of that when the building was collapsing, right?
Mm.
One of the many, you know, questions about the collapse of the towers was when that first part of the tower started to tilt. Is that many people have said, well, it should have continued on its tilt through momentum rather than just disintegrating. But the expert that they had there for Charlie was saying, well, actually, no, that wouldn't happen because of gravity. And as it starts to tilt, it would actually start to fall at the same time. And that was actually the only thing that we saw that where Charlie was confronted with some bit of evidence, right? That apparently was it. That was enough for him. All the other questions were laid aside. That one argument from that man who said that the top bit of the tower wouldn't have continued to tilt, but it would have started to fall, that was what convinced Charlie that all of the questions that we have about September 11 are ridiculous.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a joke. And it will fail, hopefully. I mean, hopelessly. So that's good. That's good. We made progress this year. Believe it or not, we made progress. I mean,
it's amazing the progress. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I talk to generally normal people on the street just to, every so often I do a little, you know, I just say, hey, what do you think of 9/11, just to random people. And it's a good, you know, it's a good thing to do every so often just to see, you know, just standing at the bus stop or whatever, you strike up a conversation. And because over the years, I've noticed a lot more people think, it's just the official story is full of crud.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, it was only 5 years ago where I'd get, you know, maybe 5 out of 10 people or 6, 7 out of 10 people sometimes saying, the official story, blah, 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 that's what I believe. Now it's, I mean, it's nearly everyone.
And look, I know this is not a great advertisement for our topic, but the Iranian president Ahmadinejad has said in the UN for the second year running now that the Twin Towers were brought down deliberately. Well, this time he said it more explicitly, and of course there was another walkout of the UN General Assembly when he said that. They all walked out, the Europeans, the Americans, the Australians, actually the rest of the world didn't. I just mean the New World Order clan.
Yeah, and when I say everyone, I mean everyone, you know, doubts the official story.
Yeah, the cool kids.
Everyone's becoming a cool kid.
Right back after the break to discuss that.
Capital Corn and Bullion is a family-owned and operated business that has helped many families and friends in protecting their assets, and we would like to do the same for you. In addition to coins and bullion, we now offer Patriot safes, ammunition, Berkey water products, gift certificates, wristbands, and our new silver pool, a new way to guarantee silver by prepaying at a locked price. We can even help you set up a metals IRA account. Call us at 512-646-6440 for more details. As always, we buy, sell, and trade precious metals and cater to those with all sizes of coin collections. We're located at 7304 Burnett Road, Suite A, about a half a mile north of Koenig, next to the Ikebon Sushi and the Genie Car Wash. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 5. Visit us at CapitalCornAndBullion.com or call 512-646-6440.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
Welcome back to the show.
Wow, a little advertisement in there.
Yes, indeed, Josh. This is actually the first episode we're releasing that is in the complete format for Rule of Law Radio, and we're actually including the ads from an episode from last week's Rule of Law Radio into this show to get our listeners used to that format, and also as a kind of pilot for the release of the show in the live format very soon. And we'll be doing that in future with all shows, whether they're podcasted or live.
Folks, you know, I just want to quickly add in here, you know, we always talk of being renewable, you know, renewable stuff. Now, this radio show needs to be renewable because it literally is run on the smell of an oily rag, and it all comes out of savings. No money comes in. And that's not renewable because over a long period of time, you know, need to invest in bandwidth to keep all these people downloading and stuff like that. So, you know, and there are different ways people can donate, but you know, we are looking at advertisement, not, you know, not mainstream stuff. We'll probably look at things that will be of interest to our listeners. So
yeah, we're definitely keen on that.
I just wanted to address that in case people go, oh, they're selling out and all this stuff. Well, it's not about that. It's about keeping the show on the air.
Yeah, folks, like, you know, you've got to understand that, well, the my perspective, right, is that I believe we need to harness the system that we live within. We need to harness it, not hide from it, or not sort of run away from it. And a lot of people think the solution is to basically detach from it. You know, a lot of the zeitgeist people and a lot of the people who want to go off into the bush and just have a solar panels and all that stuff, I'm good on them. Like, I know, you know, no criticism there. If that's what you want to do, great.
But
right?
You know what? If you do that, and that's that, like you're saying, that's great. You know, do what you want. But you are still even more so letting them control your life then.
Well,
because
yeah.
By de-attaching, you're saying you control me so much that I want to be out of the control, which is a way of control, because, oh, no, I can't, you know, get on, I can't, you know, whatever, use Telstra because that's owned by the government, and can't use the electricity grid because that's owned by, and so you're sort of getting controlled by them. So, yeah.
Yeah, and look, we're going to be discussing these type of issues over the next few weeks, and I'll be really pleased if you're involved in some of those discussions too, Josh, because Truth News is hosting some kind of panels where we're going to be talking about the economy and solutions to the economy. And this is in relation to the show I did last week about the Building a Creative Economy conference, which has a few expert speakers coming out to talk about it, and really interesting discussions. And we're actually going to canvas some of these different points of view about how do we get back to a better society. And, you know, everyone's got, like, good ideas. Everyone's got valid insights. And, you know, the ones – and, look, even the socialists do. And I don't want to say, you know, socialism is bad, okay? A lot of people who listen to these type of shows are in that, I would say, mindset where they, you know, and very influenced by the conservative American right-wing position, which is, you know, socialism equals evil. Now – I'm actually not in that camp either, because I was actually brought up to be a fairly kind of left-wing kind of socialist type person, right? But I've actually absorbed a lot of the information that the libertarian economists had been putting out over many years. I've absorbed that in recent years, right? And I've actually taken on board a lot of their arguments. And I do now understand why a collectivist solution is dangerous, right? I do understand that. But a lot of people, when you use the word collectivism, they actually think it sounds good, and it does sound good, right? Because it sounds like everyone helping each other. And why shouldn't we all help each other? And this is what we've got to get our language right, so that we don't alienate people, because people from that mindset think that we're just mean, selfish bastards, right?
Mm.
When we're against collective solutions, when we're against solutions that would involve some people, you know, maybe making a bit of a sacrifice so that others can get a hand up.
Yeah, but
they think we're just selfish, right? But go ahead, Josh.
Well, you know, the difference is, and this is a key difference, is that you know, you can't say, hey, helping each other is a bad thing. Of course it's a good thing. And both sides of the camp think it's a good thing. It's just that one side, well, where I come from is I just don't like a gun or force forcing me to participate in something I don't really want to. But I'm more than willing and always have my whole life donated free willingly and voluntarily to projects and welfare that I think is very much needed and well managed.
Yeah.
So saying that, oh, you don't want to help people, well, that's not right. I just don't want force and violence to be the conduit of help.
Which is the problem with a top-heavy approach that says the government, with its appointed kind of enforcers, being you know, tax inspectors, police, etc., the army of bureaucrats that ultimately can coerce your behavior, will basically punish you if you don't do what we think is the best. And I mean, just to give you an example of how outrageous it is, I mean, the recent census, if you don't fill that out, you will actually end up being fined a colossal amount of money, and you would probably end up going to prison as well, because those fines would start to add up, and then I think they can start taking your driver's license away, and they can then basically make your life impossible.
And then you have to drive somewhere, so you get pulled over, you get arrested. Well, and you've got warrants out because you haven't paid these fines. Because the fines is just a fine now. It's like, it's not, oh, this is just a census fine, so it's not as powerful, or it's not as... No. The policeman just goes, look, you've got a whole heap of fines and you haven't paid them. You go to prison.
Yeah. And they just make it impossible for you to function. In the UK, it's actually a criminal offence. And I've seen some examples of where people are being told that they've now committed a criminal offence because they haven't filled out the census form. So, look, that's just an example of how it gets out of control, doesn't it? And I think people don't understand the trajectory by which this gets so out of control. And you've got to look at it. You've got to force yourself to see it.
Well, the thing for me is that I feel that a lot of socialists that are just mainstream people, not mainstream, but just people on the street that think, oh no, I'm more of a socialist leaning, and especially on the anti-war movement and stuff like that, a lot of them are socialists, and you say to them, and they're always fighting against these, big government and big government wars and all this stuff, and you're thinking, well, where's the logic here? I mean, the logic is that you want all this big government to take money and redistribute it around to fairly use, but then you are against the, there's no consistency. I find, and if someone, has a different view on that, but I find generally, you have these two opposing opinions, which is really hard to sort of, get straight in my mind. I just can't understand it. Either you want big government, or you to control all the monies and make sure everyone's happy, or you don't.
Well, I mean, let's consider the carbon taxes, okay? The carbon taxes that are probably going to be passed this month through Parliament are going to have so many implications for the erosion of people's freedom and rights in society, especially people who run businesses. I mean, there's actually going to be a special division of the federal police, which is going to investigate carbon frauds, right? And they are actually going to be empowered to kind of raid businesses and inspect their carbon audit. Because they might be cheating on their carbon credits. They might be claiming carbon credits that they don't really have.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And this goes down to everything, folks. This will go down to, it won't start like this, but people will be slamming down your door, checking how many air conditioners and fridges you've got.
You're absolutely right, Josh, and we will be back to discuss this and more groundbreaking topics after the break. And you are listening to Truth News Radio Australia.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Could printed books soon be a thing of the past? Apparently, a lot of kids these days are exchanging book pages for web pages. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you what's happening to literacy.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Forget books and magazines. A recent study by the UK's National Literacy Trust found that text messages are the number one reading material for kids today, and numbers 2 and 3 are email and Facebook. That's not surprising, since cell phones and computers outnumber novels in most homes. We adults are obviously not setting a very good example. Of course, text messages are not known for their literary quality or for their outstanding spelling and grammar. In fact, they're some of the worst writing around. So if you want your kids to develop basic English skills, tell them to unplug from Facebook and turn off Twitter, then hand them an old-fashioned book. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Welcome back to Truth News. We're just musing on various aspects of the world, life, the universe, and everything. And we were to have an interview today, but our guest seems to have become unavailable, unfortunately. Just returning to what we were talking earlier about the show, I have some feedback that we are going to get this live format up and running again. I know we keep teasing you about this. You know, basically, it's just going to suddenly happen one day. It's just going to be there. I'm not going to announce it. I'm just going to say, you know, it's going to happen. And when it does, it'll be really good. So that's a positive thing. It will be good. It will be good. And of course, when we go into that format, we'll actually be getting some. The ad breaks will actually be going to ads that are being generated from the US. But this is where we actually want to start working the show. We want to actually commercialize the show in Australia. And the idea that I actually have is that, and I'm sort of negotiating this, but the show, when it breaks to ads for the Americans, it can break to different ads for Australians. Because it can be pulled as a live feed by any radio station here, and they can put in ads that are relevant to the Australian market.
Yeah, it's a specific format of you have 5 minutes here, then a 2 minute, a 50 second break or whatever it is, and then an 18 minute section, and then a 2 minute break, and standardized.
It's great, and anyone out there who's got any ideas for ideas in relation to promoting Truth News or advertising ideas, please get in touch. I've had some really good feedback from people lately, and we've got so many great interview subjects lined up, ready to go for the future.
Yeah, if you've got a product or a service that you want to get the information out about to people that are very aware of their health, of very aware of their environment around them, and want to support other people that are in this community, then, you know, this is the perfect platform for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we can even, you know, we can produce infomercials, and I don't mean to be crude in saying that. I mean, I want to do quality ones. You know, we can actually do that, and I'm actually working already with Josh and other people to prepare some material like that, which will go into the
infomercials.
Breaks.
People conjure up these horrible things, but you know, yeah. If you have a nice, you know, natural shampoo or something like that that you're creating, or a honey, say you're a honey farmer.
Yeah, why not? You know, why not promote it? And
we take
good.
The honey, we'll try it, we'll give our feedback and tell other people about it on the show.
Yeah, we'll eat the honey during the show as we talk.
Yeah, you know,
we'll spoon it up.
We'll create very sticky ads.
Anyway, just getting back to the hardcore edge of Truth News. So, look, let's just return to this market instability that we started the show with. Let me just play you a little clip from the news today, and we can perhaps comment on this. This is just from the ABC's news site this morning.
Well, the global economy is entering a dangerous place, according to the IMF chief Christine Lagarde. And it's a view backed up by World Bank President Robert Zoellick, who says we're in a danger zone. With the fate of Greece and other precarious economies hanging in the balance tonight, there are fears Europe and the US could again slide into recession. Australian shares hit their lowest point for 2 years, and the dollar took a tumble as investors fretted about the possibility of a global downturn. John Stewart reports.
In Washington, finance ministers at the Joint International Monetary Fund and World Bank meeting heard a blunt message.
The world is in a danger zone. In 2008, many people said they did not see the turbulence coming. Leaders have no such excuse now.
And the new IMF chief also warned that time is running out for world leaders to stop Europe and the United States from sliding back into a recession.
Time is of the essence. In our mind, there is no doubt. And it's not just for the United States. It's for all advanced economies, and I would say more generally, all our members.
World markets reacted to the warnings as investors saw signs of economic weakness.
I'll just pause it there. You know, when they say time is running out, you know what they're really talking about here. They're saying there's got to have to be more austerity measures.
Yeah.
And that, you know, because they're basically saying, you know, the average person, the average people are going to have to sacrifice more and more to keep the banks afloat. And so the government is going to have to bail out the banks, and the governments are going to – sorry, is it the other way around? I always get confused with this. But somebody's bailing out someone. And I think ultimately what it is that the people and the GDP of a country becomes like the collateral to bail out the financial system. So we become like indentured slaves.
Well, not only us.
Yeah.
It's less us, actually. It's more our children and our children's children.
Wow.
They're sold off. So, you know – I mean, who else could do that, Harold? I'd just like to ask you, if you were to, you know, start a business, could you, you know, say to your investors, oh, don't worry, you know, our workers plus their children and their children's children will put up the collateral for this business?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be obscene, and you'd think, well, you're a slave driver. I mean, that's slave, that's servitude. To sell off the unborn, I mean, it's sick, and that is how the world, the modern economies, as they would call them, or the more technical and advanced economies, run.
Well, look, my common sense non-expert view on this tells me that there is going to have to be a crash, a real crash. The bubble is going to have to burst. This speculative bubble, especially in Australia, which just got bigger and bigger and bigger, people's incomes can't keep up with the cost of living.
No.
Especially the cost of real estate. And I think the bubble is now almost completely in real estate in Australia, because it's already very credit card interest rates have already maxed out. Like, they're already over 20%. So I think this, the bubble in credit cards has actually largely gone. It's largely burst, right? But the bubble increased in loan credit for properties. And it increased dramatically over the last 3 years since the GFC.
Yeah.
And each time, with each wave of inflation of the economy through loans for housing, the price of property went up and up and up and up, way outstripping the increases in wages and, you know, capacity of people to basically pay
and
for that.
You get these first homeowners grants and all this distortion in a market that really is, it's just a mirage in the sands of the desert. Really, I mean, it really is. It's held up by this false ideal that Australia is different and unique to the rest of the world, that we're an exception. We're an exceptional nation, and you know, yeah, we're very cool. You know, generally, we're Aussie people are kind of nice and they're great. But there's nothing.
Well, Josh, Wayne Swan has been named the world's best treasurer.
Has he?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's once again proof that we are, you know, very special country. The little club of people who, you know, basically try to manage things and keep everything in their little elite group have said that Wayne Swan is a very, very good little boy, and he's actually been crowned the world's best treasurer.
I'd like to say something to that, and that is that it's nothing to do with Wayne Swan. It's nothing to do with government. It's nothing to do with anything like that. What it has to do is that Australia isn't on a gold standard. It isn't on a commodity standard, but it is by proxy. It cannot get off of it because of our huge mining resources. So by default, our economy is backed by physical metals and commodities, coal, and things of this nature. So that is the reason why we are still got a dollar that we have. We have been, you know, just as ridiculous as the rest of the world. I mean, we haven't been super ridiculous. I mean, we have had higher, our Federal Reserve did lift, our Reserve Bank did lift interest rates. So we weren't as ridiculous as the US is keeping them stupidly low.
At zero, effectively, yeah.
That's right. But, you know, the problem is that our banks are actually buying debts from overseas at zero and loaning them out here at a higher interest rate. But you've got to – exactly what you were saying, Harold, is that the housing bubble here with these manipulate and these incentives to young kids, young people that don't know any different, they see all the baby boomer generation making so much money from property and, oh, it's gone up 30% in a year and all this sort of stuff, really heavily promoted by government and the housing and mortgage industries. And you know, you get all these kids jumping in. Oh, well, I'm 25 now. If I get in now, I'll pay it off in 20, 30 years. And it's just pushed the market to such ridiculous highs that we're one of the last countries to pop, and we are about to pop, folks. I mean, I thought it should have happened by now, but yeah.
Look, when we come back from the break, I just want to read an article that I discovered last week. Actually, came to me in the email, and it's something I didn't know anything about. The title of the article is "Oz Banks in Secret US Fed Reserve Bailout." The Australian mainstream financial press persistently reassures us that Australia's banks are among the strongest in the world. But we'll get back to that right after the break.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who was on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, "Is that why we got the page to not come in today?" End quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they'd been in an all-night stakeout, or that they'd been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the world? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Ladies and gentlemen, the spin became transparent a long time ago. And those of us who woke up to that have been trying to do something about it. And we're a growing number. And Truth News Australia is doing, you know, its part. And there are so many great little alternative news podcasts out there around the world. I mean, I'm discovering them all the time. I don't know if you are, Josh, but, you know, they just keep popping up. We were hoping to get one such on today, but he's unavailable. That was Danny Panzella, but hopefully that will come again next week. But, you know, we're doing it. We're changing it. We're changing the landscape of media. Look, I'm just going to now read this article again, just read you the headline from this article which came to me last week. Oz banks in secret US Fed Reserve bailout.
Mm.
The Australian mainstream financial press persistently reassures us that Australia's banks are among the strongest in the world. The Australian Financial Review reassures us that Australia does not have the solvency issues crippling US and European economies. Australia boasts excellent prudential regulation backed by a vibrant economy.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we're a nation of 25 million people.
yeah. Well, that is what the politicians and economists tell us. But in December 2010, Australia's Money Morning, an Australian market and news forum, reported an economic scenario and outlook in stark contrast to the mainstream media's spit and polish. The report states, after the global financial markets collapsed in 2008, a secret bailout of two of Australia's biggest banks occurred in order to avoid a collapse of the Australian banking, and they secured secret loans from the US Federal Reserve. Now, this is the National Australia Bank, which borrowed $4.5 billion from the US Federal Reserve, and Westpac Banking Corporation borrowed $1.09 billion in January of 2008 and 2009. Westpac and NAB needed the loans because they were on the verge of bankruptcy. This is a bit of a bombshell. I really didn't know this. But it's hard, not surprising. It's just, like, it's great. And I hope this checks out. I hope this story checks out because, you know, I don't want to be giving misleading information on this show.
Well, look, like anything in this show, I mean, even the ad where it said the glaciers are growing and the, you know, go and check it out for yourself. It's really important that you don't just, oh, the ad told me so, or this article told me so, or Truth News or Herald or Josh told me so it must be true. No, look, we promote to really check this information out. It's so important. It's I mean, it's one of the reasons I do this show is to teach people to go and research.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living in the information age right now, folks. It's never been easier. Before, you'd have to drive down to the library. The library didn't have it. You'd have to go to the university. The university, you know, look all, you know, pompously at you if you're just some guy off, or girl off the street. You know, nowadays you just open a web browser, start searching, and you'll find keys and information and look around. So really look around. But this is bombshell news, Harold.
Yeah, look, it's quite important. And look, it is verifiable. I mean, it says here, under the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, legislation mandates a requirement for the U.S. Federal Reserve to reveal which institutions it loaned money to under the various bailout programs. One of these programs was titled the Term Auction Facility. Under the program, the Federal Reserve auctioned 28-day loans and, beginning in August 2008, 84-day loans to depository institutions in generally sound financial condition. Of those institutions, primary credit is available only to institutions that are financially sound. A total of $4 trillion was loaned to financially sound institutions such as the Royal Bank of Scotland, the Allied Irish Bank, which have both since been nationalised, the National Australia Bank and Westpac were in on the action too. In fact, Westpac was one of the first in the queue. On December 20th, 2007, Westpac had gotten a US $90 million loan from the Federal Reserve under the TAF program, as you can see from the screenshot link. And they've provided an actual screenshot here from publicly available details. So I'm not sure. It says in the beginning that it was secret, but then they're saying that the information is available. So we have to, you know, figure out what's going on there. But look, it's not surprising. I mean, the financial system globally was in a really bad state. And what we know the Federal Reserve did was, in a way, use its power, its clout. And I really think it's backed up by the US military machine. I mean, it basically comes down to the fact that the US has, like, you know, what is it, 20 aircraft carriers or something, and can basically just nuke any country they feel like. Therefore, anything the Federal Reserve decides to underwrite is underwritten by violence. Does that sound fair?
Oh, it's absolutely fair. I mean, there's bases, military bases all over the world. Japan have still got, these aircraft carriers off the coast. I mean, they're just everywhere. Not that they would, but it's this threat. It's this.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, yeah. Should we have money? If you don't believe we have money, well, we can just destroy your country. You know, so if you disagree with our ability to loan you this money, well, you know, to hell with you, because we've got nukes, okay? We've got aircraft carriers that can just take out a country whenever we feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is everyone else has got nukes these days, so, you know, they're less likely to do that. But, America has, in the past, over the past sort of 40 years, really used threat, financial system threat, to collapse the currencies of sovereign nations, using different means than direct violence, kinetic violence. But
right,
you know, it's still, yeah, it's a very good point. But this whole NAB and Westpac deal, I mean, that is stunning news. I mean, but folks, this is again why, if you have a mortgage with these banks, then, you know, don't worry about it too much, because if they go bust, whatever. But if you have savings in them,
yeah, that's a worry. That's
then
a real worry.
I would definitely be looking into something else, that some sort of asset that you can be putting those into. Mine, my favorite thing, as you all would know, is gold and silver. But, you know, if you can buy a property outright, definitely do that. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it now, because property is just at a ridiculous height of a bubble. So I'm sure you can get it a lot cheaper in a few, in a couple of years. But I really think gold and silver right now would be a good way, and then buying property out of that gold and silver later on. Yeah, actually, a good book is The Guide to Investing in Gold and Silver by Mike Maloney. That he really talks through the history of money and in that book, and how to ride the cycles, these boom and bust cycles that are orchestrated.
Right.
It's a very good book.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a really good idea. Look, we've all got to, you know, try and think of how do we prepare for the future. And it's a tough one. I'm certainly no expert in that area, just doing the best I can. I actually, you know, I tend to think like, you know, invest in the life that you want. You know, put your energy into building the type of life you want to have. And I actually want to invest more and more of my time in Truth News. At the moment, you know, it doesn't generate the actual income that I need, but I'm going to keep doing this, and eventually there's going to be a transition. There's going to be a switchover, so that it's not merely something that has to be supported by some other activity, because those other activities that we do, and you know, we don't need to talk about them, but everyone has to do them to survive. They're not very fulfilling, are they? They're not very satisfying. And they tend to
generally,
be...
Generally, yeah. No.
Well, generally. I mean, some people are lucky that they, you know, they do something they love, they're passionate about. But a lot of us just have to work for these mega corporations. And, you know, the mega corporations have become... there's less of them because they're bigger, right? So there's a smaller number of mega corporations now that basically own everything. And they've brought in their systems and their control systems and their, you know, I mean, a lot of people now, in order to get into work, they have to put their hands on finger scanners, right? That's just a normal thing that they're now rolling out. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, that's, you know, fine. It's convenient. You don't have to use a swipe card, you know. Yeah, great. Yeah, it is convenient, isn't it? You don't have to carry your swipe card. It's just on your fingerprint. But there's something wrong with it too, isn't there? Why is it? It's dehumanizing. It's like it's...
Well, it's not even convenient. I mean, quite honestly, my swipe card sits in my wallet, which I have to carry anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they always use these things. It's like when you had to chip your pets. I mean, my cat has a collar with its name and a number on it. Why do I have to chip it as well?
Yeah. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Like the argument is made, and the argument is made in a certain way to make you agree with it, but then you take it from a different angle, and it just seems ridiculous. I mean, I've got an article here from California where basically they're saying that kids at primary schools are going to be given STD vaccines, and their parents aren't even necessarily going to know about it. I mean, this is just another example of just complete invasion of people's personal life by the corporate government, you know, crime syndicates. The kids are actually just going to be... It's actually from the Huffington Post. Heated debate in the Republican presidential race over child vaccinations is playing out in California as Democratic Governor Jerry Brown considers whether to sign a bill allowing children as young as 12 to get vaccinated against sexually transmitted diseases without their parents' consent. Currently, California minors are allowed to seek diagnosis and treatment without parental consent but cannot get vaccinated without their parents' approval. So, anyway, that's just a final tidbit there for you. Any further comments you'd like to give Josh as we go out?
Oh, I'd just like to say, you know, just some education about podcasts and stuff. If you're just getting this from emails or something like that, you know, a good way to catching podcasts is through iTunes as well as on like Google Reader. That's a really good way of grabbing our RSS feed, and you'll get the show every week on there, plus the show notes. That's a really good way to look at it, and you can spread the show by a Google Reader. But signing up to the email and getting on our website, thetruthnews.com.au, it's fun. See you next week.
Yeah, see you next week, guys. Cheers. Over and out from Truth News Australia.
The Bible remains the most popular book in the world, yet countless readers are frustrated because they struggle to understand it. Some new translations try to help by simplifying the text, but in the process can compromise the profound meaning of the Scripture. Enter the Recovery Version. First, this new translation is extremely faithful and accurate, but the real story is the more than 9,000 explanatory footnotes. Difficult and profound passages are opened up in a marvelous way, providing an entrance into the riches of the Word beyond which you've ever experienced before. Bibles for America would like to give you a free recovery version simply for the asking. This comprehensive yet compact study Bible is yours just by calling us toll-free at 1-888-551-0102 or by ordering online at freestudybible.com. That's freestudybible.com.